Welcome to the Joyful Health Show. I'm your host, Casey Schuler, mom, personal trainer, and Bible study author, and I'm here to help you discover joyful health by grace. Okay, hello, Joyful Health friends. Welcome to another episode. And today we have Cassandra Baker with us. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hey, Casey, thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you so much for coming. She has been on the show before, so you can listen to her episode. We can link that in the show notes previously about a lot of her story. But this episode, we really want to focus on equipping the saints for the ministry. And this is our theme for this year. It comes from Ephesians 4:12. It's reaching out and growing up, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So a little bit more about Cassandra. She knows what it's like to have a love-hate relationship with food and her body. It's her own personal experience and recovery from two eating disorders that drive her passion to encourage women to find freedom. She is a certified health, life, and mental health coach and public speaker, helping women who are trapped in unhealthy habits such as perfectionism, disordered eating, legalism, and people-pleasing so that they can live free in Christ. If you want more information, you can check out www.cassandrabaker.com, and we will link that in the show notes as well, especially if you are listening to this podcast on the go. Okay, so our topic today is healing prayer. I first encountered this with Cassandra at the Holy and Whole Conference, where she led healing prayer in a separate room. And I was able to go and kind of see that in action. And I wanted to kind of introduce this topic to y'all today, and thought she is really the person to do it. So Cassandra, can you tell us, what is healing prayer?
Yeah, so healing prayer is kind of an umbrella for two different kinds of prayer specifically. One called safe place prayer, which is really the foundation for then moving on to formational prayer. So safe place prayer is where we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to take over our imagination that God has given us, and to allow for us to be able to experience the truth of the Bible, and to be able to encode it on a deeper level. It's a little different because we're also engaging the right brain. And as we do that, then it allows us to experience senses, feelings, behaviors. And so it encodes things differently than when we just have a concept about something. Okay. And then ideally, what we're trying to do with safe place prayer is establish a safe place where we can go and meet with Jesus. Right? Because there's a lot in this world, as well as in our own internal worlds, that feel unsafe or that are difficult, because life is hard and things happen, right? And so it's really important that we can build that foundation of safety, because healing comes and can't actually begin until we feel safe.
Yes.
And so engaging the right brain with the safe place prayer. And it might be the same place that you go every time. It could be a place that you've been in real life that you are imagining. It could be a place that you've never been before. Now, it's important to note here a little bit about the difference between imagination and imaginary. So imaginary would be something made up, in the sense of like, it doesn't exist in this world, such as like a unicorn. Okay. Whereas imagination can take something that is real and have it play out in our mind as a lived experience. Okay. So Daniel Siegel, psychiatrist, says that concepts alone don't rewire the brain. We need experiences to do that. And we experience things when our senses and our imagination are engaged. Okay. And so oftentimes in safe place prayer, we're asking and prompting, because this is something that I can do with clients. I can also lead it safe place prayer, like in a whole group of people at one time, but asking them to see like, and observe, like, what are you seeing? What are you feeling? What colors are you seeing? And then just being able to imagine and see Jesus. And oftentimes we'll actually use scripture to come in. So we're actually using scripture and allowing our senses to be engaged to not only just like, oh, like in my mind, I'm seeing, or like I hear what it's saying, but actually imagine like if I were actually there at that time, what would my senses, what would I be hearing? What would I be smelling? And being able to engage that allows for scripture to come to life in a new and exciting way. And it then essentially creates and allows for new neural pathways to be established. And then formational prayer is like a step forward. I call it kind of the equivalent to emotional open heart surgery, because what we're doing is like we're starting in a safe place, which is what is needed for healing. And then formational prayer is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes in and brings the presence and healing of Jesus Christ into our deepest pain and our deepest wounding. Now, it doesn't change what happened, but what it does is allows for us to see maybe where Jesus was in that. In that painful time, or what he has to say about it. And then what happens is oftentimes it's a supernatural thing that I can't explain per se, because it's done on a spiritual level, not on something that it's transformation, not something that we can conjure up ourselves, but where the Holy Spirit comes in and he brings healing. And so the way that I describe this is like on some of the things that the Lord has done formational prayer in my life is when I think about those traumatic times, that I don't feel triggered. My body doesn't have the same physical response to them in the same way after I've been able to do healing prayer. So there's a scar, but there's not the wounding connected to that memory anymore, if that makes sense.
And I think about these and it's like, oh, I feel like I've done this in an informal sense, but to know that there are labels and there's names and there's words for it can help to clarify it and to create that practice of being able to engage and be more, a little bit more intentional of like, okay. We can pursue the Lord and to allow him to meet with us in this certain way. And when we talk about prayer, it's really helpful to have some of those models open to us so that we can make it more real and applicable to our daily life. So, can you tell me a little bit more about how did you get started with this and what is the impact that you have seen? Maybe in yours and others' life. I know you've kind of talked about that too, with like those triggers being lessened. Can you share another story?
Yeah, so I first came across this back in 2011 when I came across Healing Care Ministries. The founder, Terry Wardle, had a 16-week at the time healing care group that I went through, and a very in-depth kind of look at taking a deeper look at what's at the root of some of our behaviors and things that are going on. And they practice safe place prayer and formational prayer in those. So the Lord really used it to start dealing and address the deeper level, hurt and trauma in my life. And it really then, because I had addressed those things, then when it came time to do the eating disorder recovery, I was able to give it up because I didn't need it anymore to help deal with the trauma and the wounds, because there had been healing. And I use this in with my clients. I've gone back and done several trainings to be able to do this, the both Safe Place and formational prayer. And I've also actually incorporated the Healing Care Group, which is now a 13-week group, to be able to do with clients. And again, I love, as a coach, helping people with changes and behaviors, practically being able to rewire and create new, what I call hiking trails or neural pathways in our brain. But transformation happens. That's not something we can do in and of ourselves. So this healing prayer, essentially, I'm a vessel, a wounded healer, a caregiver, positioning people before the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, who is the best counselor there is, right? And knows exactly what we need and when we need it and in what order, so that he can do that healing work. And I truly believe that I'm where I'm at today because of this work. And what this practice, this healing prayer practice, did for my life, and I see it doing it for other people's lives, is it helps the head knowledge that Jesus loves me actually hardwire down, so my heart actually has a lived, embodied experience that Jesus loves me. And I actually feel that Jesus loves me. I just don't know it intellectually. And that changed everything for me.
Yeah, I love that. And do you have, I know you talk about the ways that, you know, Jesus can pray to. What are some of the biblical examples of healing prayer or formational prayer in the Bible?
Right. So I think, you know, when we look at any new spiritual discipline that we haven't maybe heard about before, it's important to not just take anyone's word for it or my word for it. It's important to like go back to the scripture. So there's whole books on this. Healing Care Ministry, Tara Wardle, has written whole books on this. So we're just touching on the surface. But obviously, prayer is an important part of our relationship with God, and the Bible is very clear. One of my favorite is Hebrews 4:16. And actually, as I read this, notice that he actually gives us a picture of how to, like, when it talks about praying, it's a picture. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that way we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then scripture is just full of, like, think about the Psalms, all the images, right, in the Psalms. And then one of my favorite verses to talk about, like, interacting with Jesus and to show that Jesus did interact with the people that he when he was here on earth, is Mark 10:16. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And so now I can take this scripture, this truth, this absolute truth, the word of God, and I can imagine that Jesus did this for this child, and I'm also his child, so Jesus can do this for me. And so imagination prayer allows us to engage that. And one, we have an imagination, right? Which means that it's something that God created us with. And two, we have five senses. So these are tools that God has given us that we can use as a steward to help to interact, that we interact with other people, but also a tool that we can then use to interact in our relationship with him.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So if someone, and I love these, and I think about, you know, being able to meditate on the scripture, and I like the difference, the distinction that you have between imaginary and imaginative, because we want to be rooted in the truth. We want to be rooted in scripture. So we don't want to focus on, you know, a speculative version of scripture. We want to actually take scripture in and to allow it to live in us through the Holy Spirit. So if I'm someone who has never heard of this before, but want to kind of get started or dip my toes in, what's something that someone can do to start getting involved in healing prayer to try that out?
Yeah, so they recommend that when you first start maybe healing prayer, that you do it with someone who has some training, because we're human. And my experience of doing with this with different people is that triggers can come up, depending on one's personal lived experience. So, like, even breathing, technically, which that is kind of how we start out the Safe Place prayer, is just engaging the parasympathetic system by doing some deep breathing. But I've had friends and clients who have done this with, who the breathing is not connected when they're doing deep breathing to a good experience or whatever. Yeah. Right. And so it's important to be able to do it with someone who can help them regulate us, help co-regulate if we are having some issues. Safe Place prayer is something that eventually you can do on your own as a daily practice. Now, formational prayer, this is something that's really important that you do with someone who has more extensive training, because, again, emotional open heart surgery here. It's not just something you want to get into easily. It's not something I do every week with clients. It's very much Holy Spirit led. And so it's also important to make sure that that person that you're doing with has some training. And it's also recommended that you don't actually do formational prayer on your own. That you actually have someone with you. So checking out the Healing Care Ministries website and some of the books they have to check more into it. Just learning about it, doing the research to find out, like, what is this saying? Does the Bible support this? And then I'm really excited in the Non-Christian Diet Academy to be able to go a step further. And in the course, we're going to not only look a little bit more about the what is healing prayer, but then take the step further of how to experience to go ahead and be able to be led through Safe Place Prayer and then have some tools and some basic training to be able to lead other people through Safe Place Prayer.
And so I know we kind of talked about with this podcast that we wouldn't be able to say, this is exactly how to do healing prayer and now go do it. It's more of just to give an introduction into healing prayer. And yes, like you said, you will be teaching that to the teachers in the Non-Diet Christian Academy. And which, if you're not in it now and you're listening to this and you think, oh, that sounds like something I would like to do. This is for Christian leaders who are healthcare professionals, who are church leaders. We plan on opening enrollment every August and February. So the next enrollment is in August, if you're interested in doing that. So Cassandra will be helping to lead us into how to kind of facilitate that. But with those really healthy considerations, because we don't want to do something past or beyond our scope of practice, that maybe someone else is better trained into. So, okay, any other words on healing prayer of why this is important for, if someone is interested in this, why do they need to continue digging in and researching and finding out more? And what kind of, what kind of impact would this have on someone's life if they could make it a practice for themselves?
Yeah, so obviously the biblical support is the most important thing, but the why it's important is also supported by science and what we now know about brain science. So I love talking about this part. So this goes back to why it's important is again the difference between a concept, knowing something intellectually, and having a lived embodied experience of it. So if I say that honey is sweet, if you have tasted honey, you actually don't have to like create it or try to imagine. You actually have a lived experience of it, right? But if you've never actually tasted honey, again, it's the concept that is there. And so, again, this is where the healing prayer allows as a tool. Again, in and of itself, it's a discipline that if we practice on a regular basis, and practice and repetition are really important because that is what rewires and creates those new trails. Then we can have an ongoing, more embodied experience of how Jesus loves us. So we know that on average, for the brain to like heal and rewire, on average, it can do that about 2 millimeters a day. Okay, so. A nickel is about 1.95. So if you want to look know what 2 millimeters is. So when we understand how God created our brain and how our brain rewires and how it changes, I can then work with what is realistic versus before I understood brain science and how God created us. I expected to wake up tomorrow morning and never do any of these things or just all of a sudden understand that God loves me, right? But the when we're talking about rewiring new neural pathways, I like to see it as like blazing new trails. Okay. So if you have gone to the Grand Canyon and you've walked and a million people have walked that trail, you're not like, where's the trail? I don't understand it. I don't see it. There's not a bunch of obstacles in the way, right? You can just walk and go down that path very easily. But when we're talking about, and that's oftentimes what happens, we're triggered, things happen, and like we're walking down that automatic response of how to deal with whatever is triggering us and the emotions that are coming up, right? But when it comes to being able to create new paths, this is why it's so scary because there is no path. You can't see where you're going. There's a lot of obstacles in the way and it's very slow. And so when it comes to even just being able to experience and not just know about Jesus's love, that this is a practice. And again, 2 millimeters per day. And so it allows us to adjust our expectations to what is more realistic and not be so discouraged when it doesn't just happen right away.
Yes, I think that's really helpful to be able to trust the process and stick with it. As is that we're not going to change right away. And we know that because of some of the science that you just mentioned. Even being able to have that 2 millimeters a day and having the nickel and perspective, it's like, oh, and I have that lived experience of holding a nickel. And with our brain, it often feels very conceptual of like, I have a thought. I don't know what that physically looks like. But if we can kind of have like that path in mind of, oh no, this is real. This is real change. I'm actually rewiring my brain. There has not been a path before. It is unknown. It is slow, but God is known. And, you know, and I think of, is it Psalm 119 that his light is, or his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, like, that light unto our path is okay, he has made known to us the full revelation, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified for us. So, he's made that known to us. So, I think there is comfort in knowing that. Okay, God is there. There is a path, but it's the lamp unto our feet that helps us walk each step at a time. So I think, you know, that's.
And now, see what happens when I'm triggered or feeling whatever has come up. Now I have actual lived memories and lived experiences. Like if I'm really scared or terrified, then what I can do is, oh, I have a pathway. I can go down and I can remind myself and remember the times where I was with Jesus, where he was holding me, where I literally my body felt safe. And just remembering some of those times, even though they don't necessarily fix the situation, I can feel safe and I can trust Jesus because he's been with me before and I have actual memories and a lived experience of it. And I'm not just like, because I've known these, a lot of the passages, like he'll never leave you or forsake you. Like it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But they were all just concepts. And honestly, I got really angry because I'm like, the Bible says these things, but I'm not living in them. I don't feel them. And so healing prayer really was the conduit, the tool that the Lord used for me to be able to, like, oh, I get those verses now, not just in my head, but in my body.
And I think too, there's so much value in being able to trust our body, trust our maker, and trust the process. And anxiety, it lives outside of those bounds. Anxiety is living in the unknown, but it sounds like healing prayer is being able to live in that known experience of being able to experience your body sensations, experience the reality of the Lord and his presence, and to be able to trust that process. So I, yeah, thank you for being able to go through the science of that too. I think that really helps make that make it a real thing because, you know, with prayer sometimes it doesn't. It can feel conceptual, or we can get off track because we are in our head versus being grounded in our bodies and that experience. So, okay. Is there anything else that you want people to know about healing prayer, or maybe who specifically is this for?
So I know the training that I've had, it's primarily for adults. They're not quite sure how healing prayer affects the still developing brain for kids and teens. So would recommend just doing more research on that when it comes to that. But this is something definitely use with adults. And it's also something that for some people it can happen right away and it's more natural, and other people I can work with for a while before it really becomes something. And there's a wide variety of different things that can play into that as well. And so, even if you would have the opportunity to be able to practice safe place prayer and it not go the way that you were expecting or that you were hoping or what is like someone else's, it doesn't mean you did it wrong. It just actually gives helpful information. We just want to observe, see what happened. And that information in and of itself could be very helpful information to be able to figure out next steps or what's going on or what you need help with. So.
Yes, and being able to have that as there's no failure, there's only feedback. And I think that's true for like the intuitive eating process of, hey, this is not a rules-based thing. This is if you are learning, then you're winning. So, okay, so it's for primarily for adults, for those who want to gather information on next steps for their own healing. And as far as practical ways to start discovering this, to be able to find someone who is trained and equipped and to do the research. So we can link the book that you mentioned too. Is there any other resources or ways that you would like to leave with someone who's interested in knowing more?
So I've heard of different like other ministries doing something similar because this is prayer. It's not something that is human conjured up, right? And so
Right.
different times I've worked with clients who are like, oh, I've done something similar to this kind of thing. So some of these things can have overlays. But the other thing obviously would be for believers, because one needs a relationship with Jesus to be able to kind of meet with Jesus. Now, don't quote me on that. I think potentially I've heard where even sometimes, like if someone's interested in learning more about Jesus, it could potentially be even used as a tool. But I'm doing this in my own practice with born again believers.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit more about your practice and maybe where people can find you if they want to work with you on healing prayer?
Yeah, so as a coach, I said with authenticity and grace, I love working with women on the behavior change. But then I use this, what I call lay biblical counseling training, a lot actually in my practice. And so if you have interest, especially in formational prayer, that is something that we won't be able to get into in the academy. That's something that I would love to be able to work with people on. I'd also love to be able to, I just want people to be able to experience this because it's so transformational. And so I'd like to offer five of your listeners, one of my breaking free strategy sessions. So it's just 60 minutes. You can reach out. We can practice or experiment with a safe place prayer if that would be something you'd be interested in. Or we can talk about other things, whatever is kind of going on. But the first five listeners who reach out to me through email, you can reach me at info@cassandrabaker.com, and Cassandra's with a K. We'll be happy to schedule these 60-minute virtual sessions. So.
Yes, no, that is incredible. Very generous. So you said just 60 minutes, and I'm thinking, wow, no, that's an amazing amount of time that you're offering. So, if you're listening to this, email her, take advantage of that. Thank you so much for offering that. And I know that a lot of our clients were blessed by you from our last episode and from you offering that as well. So, I hope that y'all can get connected with her in that way, or at least just get connected, even if it's not with those sessions. I know that she's an amazing resource and is always happy to help in any way she can. So, okay, last bonus question for you. How are you experiencing joyful health right now?
Okay, so I've recently been reading books on trauma and window of tolerance and our nervous system. And so one of the things that several of these books have talked about is like learning, again, just observing our bodies with interceptive awareness and learning how to complete the stress cycle. And so one of the ways that I've been incorporating that is having more awareness of kind of when I am kind of moving out of my window of tolerance, and then being able to practice dance as a way to kind of help move that emotion is energy, right? So it needs to, energy has to move. So to be able to just put on a fun song, and in my house, because I'm not a good dancer, but essentially, it's been really exciting to just be able to move and to be able to just observe and notice how that movement alone and the power of music, which is a gift from the Lord too, has really helped to move that needle even just a little bit back into the window of tolerance. So that's just been a really helpful practice that I've been doing right now.
I love that. So if you're listening, be able to notice that too. Where are you feeling, ooh, a little overly stressed? For me, it's if my heart rate is going too high and I think, oh, okay, I gotta breathe, I gotta exhale. And today I taught a fitness class and we kind of referred to it as exercise therapy because we were all stressed before we came into that class and we're like, how do you want to feel when you leave? And everyone's like, I want to feel just aware or energetic, so being able to notice that and move it out and have that outlet is beautiful. So there are no bad dancers.
I don't know. That might be debatable if people, if there was a camera and people were watching.
Well, it's like a joyful noise is music to the Lord. Well, I
That's
think a joyful, movement is
right.
praise to him. So we're gonna count it as praise.
Movement. Sounds good.
Okay, well, thank you so much for spending your time with us. Would you do the honor of praying for us before we go?
I would be
Thank
honored to.
you.
That's great. Jesus, we just take a moment to thank you for who you are. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you created us as human beings. You have an imagination and senses to be able to experience this world. And so I pray for anyone who's listening who might be interested in how they could engage some of these gifts that you've given us and incorporate it with prayer, that you would just direct their steps in what small step, 2 millimeter step to take each day to learn more about it. And I pray that you would continue to work in each of our lives. And I thank you that you are a God who understands that we rewire and change at about 2 millimeters per day. And so your grace and your kindness is so extravagant. And so we thank you for that. And I pray for any listener who just really feels particularly overwhelmed and that there's no hope. And I just pray that you would just plant seeds of hope, that there's another way, that they might not have, that hiking trail might not be established yet, but you created us for us to be able to do that. And so that that would offer them hope and show them what steps that they need to take to be able to blaze the new trail. And so we love you and we give this time and pray that you are glorified. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I kind of pictured a tree, because when we were talking about the 2 millimeters and our thoughts branching out. So I don't know. I'm just gonna leave that tree of life picture with you before we go. So, but until next time, friends, may you rest in his grace and follow the joy. Have you ever thought, I've been trying to work through my food and body issues on my own, but I'm feeling a little stuck, like I'm not getting anywhere or I'm not experiencing the freedom that I think I should be? I have been there too. And once I started working with the right coaches one-on-one, my progress was like night and day. I couldn't believe how quickly I grew with that one-on-one support. So now I know that when I have a major block, I want to get help sooner rather than later because I know it changes every other part of my life. And this is why we feel so strongly about one-on-ones that I want to make sure you know what we have to offer here at the Joyful Health Collective for you. So if you can imagine never having to get your body, quote, beach ready again, never even having to think about that. If you can imagine walking into a reunion just full of confidence in the Lord and completely at peace with the food on the table, or imagine picking up a new physical activity because it makes you feel alive, strong, and more connected to God instead of the calorie burn, you could do the work on your own, or you can do it with a professional who has invested much of her life into learning the human body, connecting with God, who is the ultimate healer, and who has a passion to help others go from stressed to at rest for their health. So we are here to take you along a direct path to healing your relationship with food and exercise, to challenge those old ways of thinking, to empower you to make choices that align with who God created you to be by grace for joy. You don't have to rely on Google or guesswork. There is a real life expert waiting to meet with you. So let me introduce you to our non-diet Christian dietitian, Krista Smith. Here's a little bit more about her. She is a registered dietitian based just outside of Oklahoma City. She has primarily specialized in sports and human performance and gut health, working with a variety of clients and subspecialties, including disordered eating and impaired food and movement relationships. And for the last few years, Krista has taught at Cedarville University and consulted with the athletes there, as well as provided services to her community, developing talks for her church and women's retreats. Her greatest pleasure has been working with Christian athletes and active individuals who desire to seek the Lord in their health and wellness journeys to ultimately serve Him with their whole hearts. Her husband is a theologian, professor, and book author, and they share 4 amazing kiddos. In her free time, you can find her spending time with her kids, playing outside, cooking, or finding some fun food to try. Okay, so here is what this will look like if you sign up for one-on-ones with Krista. We have a monthly membership, so you can take it month by month. We do have a discovery call that you can talk through all this with her, but let me just give you an overview. You will get your own customized wellness dashboard, and here at Joyful Health, we want to prioritize your highest impact health habits. So we're going to ask you about, you know, your personal vision and mission statements. We're going to help you work through that so your life can be an overflow of your greatest purpose in the Lord. You're going to also get access to our monthly membership so you can have that group support, along with daily devotionals to continually renew your mind. And with Krista, you get one-on-ones with her. The first month you have an intensive, and the other months include 2 different calls, one every other week, with homework for continued growth, and she will be a touch point for you every other week that you're not meeting with her, so you have that continued support. She is also a certified health coach, which means her services are eligible for HSA or FSA reimbursement. So I encourage you to check with your employer and your insurance to see if you qualify for that. And bonus, we will give you access to our Joyful Health course if you don't already have that. It's created by a registered dietitian and personal trainer to help you build that foundation of grace with intuitive eating and joyful movement principles. So we want to make sure that you have all the education, all the equipping you need to feel empowered for your life. So if you are feeling stuck with diets, want some individualized support with intuitive eating, and are at increased risk for disease, meeting with a registered dietitian can really provide the long-term benefits that you might need. So find out if working with a non-diet Christian dietitian is right for you. You can book a discovery call with Krista by heading to joyfulhealth.co/shop. Don't wait any longer to get that healing that you need. So get started today. We can't wait to meet with you. Hey, congrats! If you are hearing this, that means you've made it to the finish line. Give yourself a high five for me. Thank you for listening all the way through. I hope and pray this episode has blessed you so that you can more fully enjoy God, glorifying Him, and blessing others. If you want to talk about this episode with more Joyful Health friends, join our free Facebook community. Head to joyfulhealth.co/podcast and get connected with us there. Before you move on with your day, would you consider taking a moment with the Lord in prayer to process what you have heard in the podcast? Ask God what He is revealing to you about Himself and what you can do in response. And for all my regular listeners, thank you in advance for writing a review and sharing this podcast with someone else who is tired of the wellness rules and is ready to rest in God's grace and the Holy Spirit's power for their health. A big, giant thank you to all our podcast guests and to my husband, Maddox Schuler, for writing and recording our podcast music. It takes a village, and we are glad that you are a part of ours.